Prepare us for the great Lent. Every year I mention how I am a little bit bewildered how in our lectionary the parable of the publican and the Pharisee is not introduced the way Luke does. In the Gospel according to St. Luke, we hear that Christ delivers this parable to some who trusted in themselves and despised and had contempt for others. First of all, we have to ask, to whom is this parable in its biblical, in its gospel context, addressed to? It is addressed, first of all, to his own disciples. His own disciples, those traveling with him. And if we read carefully the Gospel of St. Luke, this parable of the publican and the Pharisee occurs in chapter 18. Already, it has been declared in the Lucan text that the Lord faces Jerusalem. He is making his way to Jerusalem. He is preparing himself for his voluntary arrest, death, and burial. He's preparing himself for the great and holy Passover from the tomb to resurrection. In this journey to Jerusalem, his disciples have this intimate relationship with him as their teacher, and therefore it is not surprising that for these disciples to have such a close relationship with the master, with the teacher, with the rabbi, with the Christ, as Peter has already declared, there is the temptation to trust in themselves and to have contempt for others. This parable is also addressed, no doubt, to members, at the very least, of the religious elite of Judaism, perhaps Pharisees themselves. What does it mean to despise or to have contempt for someone? Who has heard of these words? So what do they mean? To despise someone. To have contempt for someone. Does this generate communion between persons or division between persons?
Division.
Why?
Because you don't want to be with that person.
Because we don't want to be with that person. Why? Because we see ourselves above the other, better than the other, more righteous than the other. So when we hear this parable of the publican and the Pharisee, Jesus is reminding us that if we call ourselves his disciples, if we wear his cross, if we follow him, not only to Golgotha, but if we are a people of the cross and therefore of the resurrection, we have to be careful not to trust in ourselves and to put ourselves above the other. Why? Why can we not trust in ourselves? The answer is already given. It divides us. Why else can we not trust in ourselves? We sing Sunday after Sunday from the Psalter. Put not your trust in princes, nor sons of men, in whom there's no salvation. We're not to put our trust in those we think might show us the way, nor, there's also the implication, nor are we to trust ourselves, to have this confidence in ourselves that we stand alone. And yet, in our culture, what is the approach to the self? Let's use the language of our culture. What is the approach to the individual?
The individual comes first.
The individual comes first. I put my trust in myself. I have confidence in myself. All that I accomplish is due to myself. Is this the approach of the gospel?
No.
No. Where do our talents and gifts come from? From God. And we must never, ever forget that. Now, getting back to the parable. Trusting in the self, having contempt for others, causes division. And therefore, the Lord gives us this remarkable, this brilliant parable of the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee does everything right. He prays, he fasts, he tithes. He's the good Orthodox Christian. What is his great downfall?
Pride.
St. Augustine, the great bishop of Hippo, today Tunis, in northern Africa, says to his audience in his work De Moralia that faith cannot be given, cannot be apprehended, cannot belong to anyone who has pride. Faith, and therefore this living, saving, transfiguring relationship can only come to the humble one. Why so? Because the humble one is the one who empties himself of all that self-pride, self-glorification, and self-trust, and lays himself before God, and therefore opens his mind and his heart. We can even say he opens every fiber of his existence so that God may enter into his life and bestow upon him that wonderful and glorious gift of faith, of a relationship from which comes all righteousness, from which comes salvation, from which comes transfiguration, from which comes entrance into the kingdom of new and eternal life. The prideful one cannot have faith. The prideful one cannot be given faith. The Pharisee does everything right. He assumes even a prominent, he assumes a position in the temple in which his physical posture indicates his arrogance and his pride and his contempt. Does this man pray? We can say no, but we can also say yes. To whom does he pray?
Himself.
To himself. This is one of the great catastrophes that we encounter in the gospel. The one who does everything right has no faith and therefore cannot pray or can only pray to himself, no matter how often he uses the term God, no matter how often we might use the term Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a sinner. This is not enough. The words are not enough. There must be this humble disposition which is manifested to us by the publican, by the sinner. St. Gregory the Great, one of the best popes of Rome, who died at the beginning of the 7th century, in speaking about this parable, says that fasting and prayer of the Pharisee do not strengthen his relationship with God. They do not defend him against all the attacks seeking to draw him away from God. On the contrary, the one who is doing everything right, the one who is fulfilling the law, the one who is virtuous, the one who is ethical, is being driven away from God, according to St. Gregory. On the contrary, the fasting and prayer, all that this Pharisee does, weaken his relationship with God. This parable reveals to us one of the great paradoxes, one of the great ironies that permeates the New Testament. And what is that paradox? What is that irony? The one who is in, the Pharisee. Who are the Pharisees? What are they known for?
The knowledge.
Their righteousness, their knowledge of the law, their practices, their practice, their keeping of the law. They are the Orthodox. By the way, we can easily change this to the publican and the Orthodox. The Pharisee is part of the religious elite, at least of one of the groups of Judaism of the time of Jesus. The one who is in, this is the irony, is the one who is out. And the one who is out, the publican, the tax collector, the sinner, the one who does not practice the virtues, the one who does not fast, the one who rarely, if ever, prays, except in this parable, he is the one who is in. He is the one who has the close relationship to God. Let me conclude with a quote from St. John Chrysostom, from his treatise. I've shared this with some of you before, because we always have new people, I don't want to deprive you of this treasure of patristic wisdom. It comes from his treatise on the incomprehensibility of the divine nature. And in this discourse, he speaks about the publican and the Pharisee. And he speaks about them in the context of the races, the racers. This discourse, says Chrysostom, shows us two men driving their chariots in the arena. His insight into this parable is more nuanced than St. Augustine and St. Gregory. This discourse shows us two men driving their chariots in the arena. The one driver, united to pride, is inclined toward righteousness. The other, united to humility, is inclined to sin. But he who is inclined to sin overtakes the one inclined to righteousness, not by his own power and authority, but by the virtue of humility which runs with him. The one who is inclined to sin overtakes the virtuous one because of his humility, because of his openness to God. Oh God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. This man, the publican, sees himself as he truly is before God and even before those around him. He sees himself precisely as a sinner, and cannot even raise his eyes. He bows. His whole bodily posturing signifies his openness, his desire to be reconciled with God, to have a relationship with God. He is the one who overtakes the virtuous one, whereas the other, the virtuous, he is defeated. Why is he defeated? Not because of these virtues which he practices, not through the fault of righteousness, but because of the weight and mass of pride. The man cannot see himself precisely because he is filled with himself. This man cannot have a relationship with God, cannot have faith, cannot have ultimately true righteousness because he is weighed down by his pride. I have accomplished so much. I do so much. I pray, I fast, I help others. I read the scripture. I come to the temple. How great I am. Rather than, like this publican, rather than having humility, which draws him into that relationship with God, from which then flows all righteousness, all virtue. The parable ends abruptly by saying, he who exalts himself will be humbled. He who exalts himself will be brought down. And he who humbles himself will be raised up, will be exalted. But we can add that when the publican and the Pharisee leave the temple, the publican is precisely the one who leaves with righteousness, and therefore his life is changed. Only if we have humility can we dare to enter into the school of repentance. Only with humility can we dare to say that we are the true disciples of Christ. Only with humility, and therefore recognizing that it is only Christ who saves us, not my virtuous acts, not my ability to quote the scripture and to say prayers, but only through Christ and my openness to Christ am I brought from death to life. And in that resurrection, which is already beginning for us, in that resurrection comes the virtues. In that resurrection comes this openness to God and to the other, so that indeed we are not weighed down by pride and arrogance, but we are made light through our love for God and for the other. Amen.